It's one of the horrible words in the English language. Blind. To be blind. British author C.S. Lewis once remarked how certain words take on a painful power of their own. The word haunted, for instance. And how even a child who doesn't know the meaning of the word haunted will shudder if he hears an adult say, "That house is haunted." Blind seems to carry that same kind of jolt. Try to imagine being blind. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And then we come to six very memorable words. Was blind, but now I see. First, let's look at just two of those six words. Was blind. You and I, as subjects of this song, Amazing Grace, have experienced blindness, a certain kind of blindness, more deadly and dark than even the loss of sight, spiritual darkness, a moral blackness, where we can't see our way out. You know, the book of Revelation has a message for the church of Laodicea, the church of the last days. In other words, you and me. You remember what it says in chapter 3, verse 17? You say, "I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing." But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Notice what it says. Blind, but not realizing it. We're not seeing, and we don't know that we're not seeing. We think we're seeing. We think we've got 20/20 vision. We haven't even made an appointment with the optometrist because we don't think we need to. I can see just fine, thank you anyway. Friend, what is it that we're not seeing? What is it that our blindness is causing us to miss? Well, the fact that we find this line, "Was blind, but now I see," in the song Amazing Grace, should be our biggest clue. It's grace itself that we're not seeing. For thousands and maybe millions of church-going, Bible-believing, tithe-paying, professing believers, we're blind to the idea that we really do need Jesus. We can't see that all of our goodness doesn't count for anything. And what we need is the gift of amazing grace. Now let me confess, as I did earlier, I've often fallen into the trap of not realizing that I'm wretched, I'm pitiful, I'm poor, I'm naked and blind. I've been tempted to look at my resume and my theological degrees and forget about my need of grace. I've awakened in the morning and found myself in spiritual blindness, not seeing my desperate need of Jesus and Calvary. Working at the Voice of Prophecy, I've traveled to a lot of religious meetings where Christians from a whole region will gather for several days or a weekend. And I've encountered folks who have been going to those camp meetings for 50 years. They've sat in the same pew of their church back home every weekend for 50 years. And they haven't accepted the Bible truth of grace. in their own blinded vision, they believed that they demonstrated a kind of faithfulness and obedience on their own that qualified them for eternal life. I know that because they've told me so. Friend, there's an enemy out there who is trying to blind us, to keep us from catching even a glimpse of grace, to keep us from seeing God, and to cause us to see instead a distorted, unfocused, fuzzy picture of Him. Because even worse than blindness is to see falsehood. How many people have believed lies about God and ended up in spiritual blindness? Friend, maybe your blindness has come upon you because somebody out there lied to you about God. Perhaps God was portrayed as your enemy, your everlasting tormentor, your executioner. Maybe grace was buried beneath a blanket of rules and human obedience, and you believed the lies, the misrepresentations they told you. What they told you wasn't true, but you thought it was. And that blindness kept you paralyzed. You were a slave, blind, and imprisoned because of believing a lie. I'm glad that God doesn't hold us accountable for our blindness and the blankets that have blocked out the sunlight. He doesn't hold us accountable unless we refuse to accept the eye salve He provides. I was blind, but now I see. You see, God promises us that there is a cure for blindness. All through the New Testament, Jesus healed blindness. In the Revelation verses that we just mentioned, Jesus promises eye salve, healing ointment, to those who will accept it. Your blindness can be healed. You can see His grace again. In fact, He Himself is the eye salve you need. He says in John 9, verse 39, "For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see." Yes. Jesus Himself is described as the light of the world, the light that penetrates and conquers our darkened vision. We've been looking at the biblical topic of grace and the fact that Jesus came down from a throne in heaven to this dirty little planet. He came down here to live among people like you and me. He came down here knowing He was going to die. He came down here knowing He was going to be rejected and persecuted and ridiculed and killed. But He did it anyway. So that something called grace could be our rescue. Grace. Amazing grace. Actually, grace is not just amazing. It's more than amazing. We read about some tremendous scientific discovery. Astronauts have just tried some feat that hasn't been accomplished before. Or researchers may have a breakthrough against a certain disease. And all the TV commentators say the same thing. Amazing. Friend, if those things are amazing, then Calvary is more amazing. If the headlines on TV are amazing, then we really need a new song to sing entitled, "More Than Amazing Grace." Amazing is a good word. Grace is amazing. And we need to daily be amazed by grace. But if grace and Calvary and Jesus' sacrifice for us are on the same emotional level as many of the amazing things that happen in our world day by day, well, then we need to think again and either find some deeper word or a deeper love for the gift of grace. I love how the Apostle Paul describes the package plan that is grace. Listen to one of the most amazing passages in the scriptures. I weep when I read it. Philippians 2, 6 to 11. Being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 6 to 11. There it is. Jesus came from the very highest point the universe could know, down, down, down here to the lowest point a person could conceive. And now, he occupies the highest point again, where he offers his own blood, his own creation of grace for you and for me. That's how Paul saw it. That's how more than amazing he thought God's grace was. In fact, in his letter to the Christians at Galatia, Paul wrote this in chapter 6, verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, he goes even further. When he wrote his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 2, Paul essentially said, I don't even want to know about anything except the cross. For Paul, it was Calvary that was amazing. Human achievements weren't amazing. Military victories weren't amazing. The accomplishments of people, even his own little list of successes, weren't amazing. Paul thought that what Jesus had done in dying for him, that was amazing. Are we all that excited about what Jesus has done for us? Are we that excited about amazing grace? So much of what we call amazing is incredibly temporary. Today's headlines are gone tomorrow. Today's little accomplishment is forgotten by next weekend. But the gift of grace is forever. It lasts beyond the weekend, beyond next year, beyond the centuries, beyond time itself on this planet. God's grace survives for eternity. It really is amazing, this more than amazing grace. So why do we find it so difficult at times to see it clearly and recognize just how amazing God's grace really is? Perhaps your blindness has been that of limited vision. You can see, but not very far. You've glimpsed grace, but not very much of it. You know God has power. You know that. But somehow, you've not seen and being very active in your life. You've read and heard all your life that Jesus is coming soon. But you've stopped seeing that promised event as being very real. Even at this very moment, you may feel surrounded by enemy forces. The devil's been after you with temptation and discouragement. Your little battle station is surrounded by hostile forces. You feel like General Custer, or like the servant of the Bible prophet Elisha, who cried out to his boss in 2 Kings 6, 8 to 16, "Alas, master, what shall we do? The Arameans are all around us." You know, Elisha prayed in verse 17, "Lord, open his eyes that servant looked up, and his blindness was removed. Instantly he saw the hosts of heaven's armies and the chariots of fire all around them, ready to do battle on their behalf. Friends, those very same armies are still there. They haven't gone into military retirement. The same angels and the same God are present in your life today, right now. Calvary and Grace are still here with you, surrounding you. It's time to open your eyes and see them. Really see them. Was blind, but now I see.